are listening to the sermon podcast of Covenant Presbyterian Church. We are a community in Madison, Wisconsin, who gathers to worship, to learn, to serve, and to grow together in God's love. Please visit us online at www.covenantmadison.org, where you can find information about Covenant Ministries, as well as links to our online worship services and sermon podcasts.
Happy Easter, Covenant friends. Happy Easter indeed. Christ is risen. Last Sunday, we had three wonderful worship services out in the parking lot to celebrate Easter. But Easter is not a one-day event. Easter is not over. As we see in the book of Acts, the early church, those first followers of Jesus, needed some time to begin to figure out what this resurrection was all about. Just as they needed some time, so do we. So in the church calendar, Easter is a season that lasts for 7 weeks. Easter is really a way of life for us as Christians, but in this season, we specifically think about what the resurrection of Jesus is all about. So we're starting our sermon series today, officially, about learning resurrection and living resurrection. We're going to be looking at different themes through the lens of this book of Acts, the story of the early church, those first followers of Jesus who are trying to figure things out to help us understand what resurrection is. Today's theme is the kingdom of God, the new reality that Jesus proclaimed throughout the Gospels. And as we see in the first words of the book of Acts, that kingdom was a focus of the resurrected Jesus' message. Listen now for God's word from Acts chapter 1. In the first book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus did and taught from the beginning until the day when he was taken up to heaven, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. After his suffering, he presented himself alive to them by many convincing proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. So when they had come together, they asked Jesus, "Lord, is this the time when you will restore the kingdom to Israel?" Jesus replied, "It is not for you to know the times or periods that the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." Thanks be to God for the words of Scripture. Jesus began his ministry by announcing the kingdom of God. In Mark chapter 1, we read, "Jesus came to Galilee proclaiming the good news of God and saying, 'The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news.'" And this kingdom of God was central to Jesus' life and ministry, his words and his deeds. He shared parables about the kingdom, using imagery like seeds and nets and yeast and treasure. Jesus said, "The kingdom of God is within you. The kingdom of God is before you. The kingdom of God is around you." Jesus taught his followers to pray, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done." Jesus exhibited the kingdom by feeding hungry people and welcoming the outcasts. And Jesus called his followers to get their priorities straight by saying things like, "Strive first," or "Seek ye first the kingdom of God." Now, the term kingdom is obviously problematic with all of its patriarchal overtones and the fact that we associate kingdoms with castles and armies and dragons and things like that. We could refer to this new reality of God as the realm of God or the reign of God or the community of God. There are a lot of other options for this language, but whatever we call it, it's central to the life and teaching of Jesus and to Jesus' followers. In this new reality of justice and righteousness, hungry people are fed, outcasts are welcomed, the last become first, greed and selfishness are turned upside down, sinners are welcomed and called to change. Faith, hope, and love are lived. This kingdom of God is about new life and about resurrection. We're invited to live into this new reality, to be part of it as it becomes more real in our world. It's not fully here yet, but we're invited to be part of it. Ordinarily, this is the part of the sermon where I would make the case for us to work for the kingdom. Ordinarily, this is the time when I would call for faithful followers of Jesus to fight hunger and racism and loneliness and greed and selfishness. Ordinarily, this is the time when I would pound the pulpit a little bit maybe and say, God loves us and God calls us to love one another, so we need to do that in our daily living. Ordinarily, this is the time when I would challenge you to put your faith in action, to not only learn God's love, but to live it with the things that you do every day, to make God's kingdom more of a reality. I've offered plenty of inspiring messages like that over the years, doing my best to call faithful followers of Jesus to serve the kingdom, to get out there and make a difference. And you probably hear that message consistently from a Covenant Presbyterian Church, from our ministries and from other people, to volunteer at food banks and soup kitchens, to write letters to elected leaders, to make phone calls or send notes to shut-ins, to engage in racial justice issues, to plant trees and to use less stuff, to give generously to support God's work in the world, and to join boycotts or protests to make the world a better place. And sometimes you even hear spirit-filled, masterful sermons encouraging you to serve the kingdom of God by joining a committee at Covenant Presbyterian Church. But today you're not going to hear that. I'm not going to make those pleas today. I'm not going to urge you to work harder for the kingdom of God. I just can't do it today because I'm exhausted. And the thought of more work is even more exhausting. And I'm guessing some of you, most of you, all of you are exhausted as well. It's been a hard year. Physically, emotionally, politically, economically, medically, spiritually even. It's been a very hard year. Just about everyone I talk to is worn out. I know a lot of pastors and church workers who are having a hard time right now, but we're hardly the only ones. Teachers and professors, administrators and students are exhausted. Doctors and nurses and researchers and technicians and hospital staff are exhausted. Nursing home staff and nursing home residents are exhausted. Supermarket workers and restaurant employees, small business owners, retail workers, exhausted. Parents, grandparents, children, exhausted. I got a snapshot of how exhausted we might be feeling just a few weeks ago when I was on a Zoom call. Someone on the Zoom call, it was a committee meeting, somebody shared their screen. And on the top of the screen, I could see the tab where they had their email inbox. And in their email inbox, there were over 5,000 unread messages. 5,000. Now, your email inbox might not be that burdened, but I'm guessing there are other areas of your life where you might just feel burdened and heavy and weary and exhausted. We're exhausted from COVID. We're exhausted from fear of the virus, from the isolation, from the change in our daily routines, from renewed concerns about variants, and from all the other challenges that are facing our world right now. We're worn down. And we're sick of looking at screens, which is exactly what you're doing right now. Thanks for hanging in there. We're almost done. So despite my initial plans with this sermon several weeks ago, I don't think we need to hear a "we need to work harder for God's kingdom" sermon right now. I don't think that would be very effective or helpful. And the reality is it's not the most important message anyway. The Bible makes it clear that God raised Jesus from the dead. And the Bible makes it clear that the kingdom is God's kingdom, not our kingdom. So resurrection and building up the kingdom are God's jobs, not ours. We can help, but ultimately God's in control. I was reminded of this just a day before Easter when I saw a wonderful meme from Lutheran pastor Nadia Bowles Weber. And that said, it was a message to church workers saying, here's our yearly reminder. Jesus will rise from the dead, even if you forgot to print out the right hymns, even if the lilies arrive already wilted, even if the whole choir gets food poisoning. Nothing will keep the stone from rolling away. You are loved. Friends, resurrection happens even if we're too exhausted to help. God is at work in the world. God is at work in our lives, bringing new hope and bringing new life, even if we're not participating actively at the moment. The good news is that God continues to bring resurrection and new life. God continues to bring the kingdom of God into the world, into our hearts, into our homes. Now, we can help, and we often do. Your words and your deeds have made a difference, and they continue to make a difference. I know the people of this church can do great things. You respond to those fine sermons that we've preached about serving the kingdom and working for God's kingdom. But when we're exhausted, when we need a break, when we just need to say no for a little while, it's good to know that God's work continues nonetheless. We're not alone. We're in this together. And if we have enough strength, just open our eyes a little bit. We can see glimpses of God at work around us. We can see glimpses of resurrection. We can see glimpses of the kingdom. We got a little glimpse last week in the parking lot with our Easter worship service. Thanks be to God. Sometimes I get glimpses of resurrection and new life even in the news. Like this week, I read in the Christian Century magazine that applications for medical schools are up 18% this year because so many people are concerned about COVID and want to make this world a better place. And I see glimpses of resurrection and God at work around the world, like in our mission co-workers. Jed Coble has been working in Peru for a long time, helping to feed hungry people, helping to promote education of students who are deaf, and working in an environment to plant trees in an area that's been devastated by toxic pollution. Listen to him speak about resurrection happening in Peru.
In the midst of so much death, around the world and here in Peru this past year, I've seen so many signs of life. Even from early on in the pandemic, when communities came together, churches and leaders to create community kitchens when people couldn't put food on the table. And so the community gathered together and provided for one another. In education, the entire, all of last school year and this year, all of this year are, you know, virtual education. But a lot of children couldn't even access that. Almost two-thirds of kids in around Peru didn't have any education last year. And with some of the children we worked with in the jungles of Peru, a deaf population where there was no resources provided for them. The families came together with our partners and created an education system online for them, which not only helped continue their education, but allowed them to support one another emotionally through this pandemic. And then, of course, in La Roya, one of the most contaminated places in the world, Resurrection has been building for years there, where the land has been infertile, which was once agricultural land. The communities come together as planting trees, reforesting the land, and returning nutrients to the soil so that they can one day be planting food there again. So in all these places where there's been so much death, there's been so much suffering and struggle, the people have said, that's not the last word. No is not the final answer. We're going to make it happen one way or another. And by coming together as a community and supporting one another, they've brought life back by putting food on the table, bringing education into homes, and growing trees where once nothing grew. So yeah, there's a lot of resurrection happening here in Peru.
Friends, at Easter, we celebrate the mystery and majesty of the resurrection of Jesus, the one who came to proclaim God's kingdom. The good news is that God continues, no matter what, resurrecting the world, and God continues resurrecting us. Thanks be to God. Amen.